This is from 2 Corinthians 4:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, that's us, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Are you ready for God to do something immeasurably good, more than you can imagine? I hope you're here expecting that this morning. And it may be a small thing when someone else looks at it, but it might be a big thing when you're looking at it, right? Something that you need specifically. He wants you to ask him for those things, right? He wants you to know that you can rely on him. So we're going to start this service proclaiming that he is God. You are God. Stay standing for this song, but if you need to sit again, feel free. This song is one that we've been doing for years and years. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. He's higher. He's a healer. He shines through the darkness. Amen. That's our God this morning. Let's proclaim that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Power that we can hold through him is only possible because of his love, because of his grace and mercy towards us, that we can accept him into our hearts and hold that power and know our future. Amen. So this next song is simply called Jesus Loves Me.
Was a stone, I was covered. couldn't change when it came for me. I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms. Jesus, He loves me, He is for me. Jesus, how
I love hearing you guys sing that. Sorry about the boo-boos. I'm so tired right now. I have to work 72 hours in this week and next week, so it's just a lot. But anyway, I'm feeling my age a little bit. Anyway, you guys are so patient and good with me anyway. I just want to read another scripture. This is from this one's from, I don't know where this is from. I didn't write it down. So we're going to just do it anyway. I think this was 2 Corinthians. I think the other one was Ephesians. I don't know. Anyway, it's scripture. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed, day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I hope that you believe that this morning. You know, the stuff that we, the junk that we hold, the even my tiredness today, you know what? It's all just going to be washed away when we're in the light of Jesus, right? When we get to see him face to face and that eternal glory. And this song is basically about that. It's called Fade Away. You know what? If you're not in it, God, then I don't need it, right? And we can get distracted really easily with all that's going on, and we can let a whole bunch of other things, and maybe some really good things that come into our life, like family and friends and work and all this stuff. None of those things are bad. But when the light of Jesus, if he's not in each and every one of those things, then what are we doing it for, right? So if you guys know this, feel free to sing it out.
Yeah.
Guys, I am excited that Kirtland is sharing today. You know, it was interesting. We went away to PEI, and Adam, who I used to duct tape to the walls, right, at Kids for Christ and different things like that, he was this young man. And when they shared their vows, which they wrote themselves, it was just soaked with God and God's dreams and hopes. And it was so beautiful for me. And then Kirtland was up there, and he was standing with his cousin, and he was asked to pray, and they introduced him as Reverend. And the whole weekend, I was like, ah, like, I'm old, but it's been worth it. You know what I mean? And I was so proud of those guys. And so anyway, I love it when he speaks. I'm so glad that I already heard him this morning. I'm going to hear him again Tuesday night. I'm going downstairs. So kids, you come downstairs with me, and everybody give Kirtland a big hand.
Thanks, guys. I want to start off. We're going to do something kind of fun. I thought it was fun. I realized halfway through this exercise, it was making people feel really uncomfortable for a service. And so anyway, I hope you don't feel uncomfortable. If you don't want to participate, that's fine. But I think it's neat. What I want to do is I want to go year by year through the history of this place. And I would love... Wow, they just took a nasty fall there. You good, Isaiah? He's good. You bounced. It was good, buddy. All right. Anyway, I want to think right. I want you to think right now about what year, and maybe it was super recent. What year did you regularly start attending this church? Right. What year did you start attending regularly this church? Maybe this is your first month here. Maybe you've been here for 50 years. But I think this is fun. Why do I want to do this? One, because it's fun. Two, because I have, you know, in comparison to some, I have not been here that long, and I'd love to know how long some of you have been here, so I think this is going to be fun. Just participate with me. We're going to go through a couple times in this church's history, and we're going to see when everyone started attending. So let's start with what I'm going to call the COVID era. How many of you started attending between this day right now and back in 2019? How many have started coming between 2019 and right now? Put your hand up. Put your hand up if you start coming, 2019. All right, awesome. That's good. That's good. That's our starter, okay? Now, we're going to move into the next one. Last service, this was the most popular one. This was when I started attending, but this covers a lot of space. How many of you started attending regularly between 2010 and 2019? How many? Okay. Wow, that's quite a bit. That's actually surprisingly less than last service, though. This is interesting. Okay, not a lot of hands have gone up so far. I assume some of you have been here for 60 years. Okay, how many of you started attending this place regularly between the year 2000 and 2010? Regularly. Okay, all right, there's a few. That would have been the decade that Jason was here and the decade that Andrew got here, right? So that's pretty cool. Now we're going to go to the 90s. How many of you started attending in the 90s? My birth decade. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put that on you. There's a few. 90s, okay, awesome. How about the 80s? 80s, did anyone start attending in the 80s? Do we have any? No 80s? Slow year. It was a slow decade. Okay, 70s? Anyone from the 70s? No? Oh, wow, there was a couple last service. this church was built in the 60s. Was there anyone who's been here since the 60s? Anyone? Nice. That's awesome. Let's give it up for those guys. My goodness. That's awesome. I didn't realize that. This was not meant to be an exercise to say anything other than I think it's amazing because we as a church sit on the shoulders of the ministry that you've been doing for 50, 60 years. And that's amazing to me. I think it's beautiful. It's incredible for today's day and age. And I feel like we're at a point in church history where it's super common for people to shop for the perfect church to attend, right? And there's nothing wrong with that to an extent. I mean, I think it's okay to look for a church that suits you, but it's becoming more and more common for people that as soon as tough seasons come, and my goodness, you guys who have been here for that amount of time, you've seen tough seasons, I'm sure of it, right? As soon as tough seasons come, though, it's very common for people when the church goes a direction that they don't agree with or the minister starts going a direction that they don't agree with, they pack their bags and they go. And so it amplifies how incredible it is to me that there are some who have been here even since the decade that this place was built. That's beautiful, right? And so that's kind of why I wanted to highlight that. I admire the fact that some of you have been here for the majority of your lives investing in this town through DWC, right? And I, like I said, I've been able to witness the fruit of those ministries that have been happening because of your faithfulness, right? So that's beautiful, and thank you for that. And like most churches, if you've been here a long time, you've stayed here through thick and thin, right? It hasn't always been great years, and how fitting. It was funny. Jason and Chrissy here today, I wrote this message before I even knew you were coming, and here we are going back through the church's history. I think that's beautiful, right? Because they were here, so many of my friends, Jason was their youth pastor. And I think it's so cool because I always heard of this legendary Jason guy, and I never knew him. And here he is in the flesh. I'm like, it's Jason, right? Anyway, so I thought that was so cool. It's great to see them here this morning. And if you've been here in this church for 20 plus years, and some of you have, right? It's crazy to me that Andrew is not the only lead pastor that you've ever had, right? And that's a crazy thought for me because I haven't necessarily had to go through that, right? You attended a church under a certain pastoral leadership, and then you had to watch it all change in front of you. And I think to even put that into perspective, and now you're sitting there, and you see this 26-year-old up here, and you're just, like, I can't imagine that feeling. I haven't had to go through that. I haven't had to have my life and my trust in a pastor change all that much, because I've had the same guy for most of my life, and of course, that's Andrew, and I think that's, you know, it's strange, but man, he's been the guy that I've confided in and trusted since I was, like, 15 or 16 years old. When I was here as a teenager, right? And so the idea of having to embrace a new spiritual leader has always been tough for me to grasp. Because the reality is that pastor, that role of pastor, is so heavy. It's such a sacred role in someone's life. It's like I'm technically a pastor here, but for a lot of you who have been here, I'm just not your pastor. And I'd love for our relationships to grow like that over time, but pastor is such a vital role in someone's life, and that's why for me, I've had very few pastors that I've really trusted with some deep personal things in my life because of how intimate that role is, right? And like I said, Andrew, for the most part, has been that guy for me. And sure, now he's like my boss and he's my coworker, but he's also a friend. And he's also pastor, and it's weird to kind of have that relationship with him. Like, he was my youth pastor. I work with him now, but he also, like, he married my wife and I. And then a couple weeks ago, he dedicated our child to the Lord up here. And it's just, it's such a crazy role in your life that it's pretty wild if change has to come and you have to witness that within your church. And I've wrestled with that idea for a long time now because pastoral leadership really can change in the blink of an eye, can't it? It's crazy, but it can. And you don't always get to see it coming, and you just got to be prepared to roll with it. And so I've thought about this. Like, it's gotten in my head sometimes. Like, if my pastor left or if something happened where my pastor that I've trusted for years could no longer be my pastor, how would that affect my life? Right? Would I change churches? Oh my goodness. When, like, I don't know. I've wrestled with that idea. Would I be as happy or content as I was before if I no longer had my pastor to lean on and someone new came in? Would my faith be left weaker due to that lack of that spiritual leadership in my life? What would I do? What would I do if I lost an individual that I lean on in my faith? Have you ever thought about that? Some of you might be thinking, oh, no, why is he talking like that? Is Andrew leaving? Right? No, as far as I know, you guys are stuck with us as long as the Lord wills it. But I've seen Andrew do some really stupid things. I see some of the ladders he climbs in this building. I'm telling you, he could die any day. But you guys need to be prepared. I see him do sketchy things all the time. But anyway, any of us could. But what I've seen in the past is that entire churches and seemingly certain individuals' personal faith, it's all way too dependent on other human beings. Even if those human beings are spiritual leaders, right? And far too often, I think our faith is even dependent sometimes on a particular church. And so when the unexpected happens and maybe scandal breaks out or conflicts arise or maybe tragedy strikes the church and the leadership has to change, things can sometimes, unfortunately for people, fall apart in their walk with the Lord because all that stability that was there for so long is just gone. And it leaves you wondering what to do next. Have you ever thought about how dependent your faith might be on your pastor or your church? In the book of John, the disciples found themselves in a similar spot, except they wasn't just some random spiritual leader that they were seemingly losing. It was the guy. It was the spiritual leader. Jesus told them in John 13, he says, you know what? Our time together, it's coming to an end. I'm going to have to leave you guys. Big change is coming. And of course, he was talking about his journey to the cross. And similarly to how we might respond if we were faced with that scenario where our guide, our spiritual leader, was leaving, the disciples, they didn't know what to do. They started panicking. They don't want their leader to leave. Man, think about the journey that the disciples had gone on with Jesus. They were all in. They'd been traveling around with Jesus most of the time, leaving their families behind, watching lives be transformed, seeing ministry happen all over their region, and watching Jesus perform crazy miracles in their lives, in the lives of everybody around them. And life was good, and life was comfy. And so then what happens? Jesus shows them that change is on the horizon, and it seems to shake everybody up. Even the disciples, the ones we look up to, through Scripture, were shaken by the idea of losing their spiritual leader. Things were comfy, but change was coming. And the only way that I could think to kind of relate to this in my own life happened when I was about 17 or 18 years old. And some of you have kind of heard this story before, but I'd been in youth group for a few years. I didn't grow up in this church. I started attending youth group in my later teenage years. And so I'd been in youth group for a few years, and Andrew had been running it. For any of you who are new, that's the bearded guy who was back here talking earlier. Anyway, he had been running our youth group, and he was a crazy fun youth pastor, right? Like he showed me a side of the church and a side of Jesus that I had never really seen a whole lot before. And so he was a very crucial individual through my teen years. And so I decided that eventually, once I aged out of youth group, I wanted to help out with this program. I wanted to minister to youth. I wanted to be a part of that, and I wanted to volunteer. And so like many of you guys have, I came in on a Saturday morning, and I took the leadership course, right? And what it was is I remember I was actually sitting right around here. Andrew was kind of sitting here, and it was just Andrew, me, and this one other fella who came in to take the course as well, and I didn't recognize him. Didn't know who he was. And so we did the course. It was about 2 hours or so. Learned a ton. It was awesome. But after that other fella left, I asked Andrew. I was like, who's that guy? Like, you seem to know him. Who is he? I've never met him before. And Andrew said, well, his name's Tim Long, and he's likely going to be taking over the youth program for the church. And I was like, dude, what? You're leaving? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're the youth guy. Like, here I am taking this course. I want to volunteer for a program that you're running. What are you doing leaving? Super hypocritical in hindsight, because then I ended up being that guy who came in and took over the youth programs. But I was thinking at that time, I was like, how could you be leaving and leaving us with someone that we don't even know? Like, what are you doing? And of course, Andrew challenged me to give this new guy a chance. And I was challenged to step out of my comfort zone in order to both grow in my faith, but also to allow God to use me to minister to others. It was a really critical point because I could have got frustrated and said, no, that's dumb. Why didn't you tell me and left, right? But for some reason, God was speaking to me and saying, man, you just got to stay and we'll figure it out. And of course, God knows what he's doing. And Tim and I became really, really good friends. And we still are. He became a really big spiritual hero of mine who helped me in my faith through some pretty critical years through my relationships and all that stuff. He ended up standing with me in my wedding. All that to say, it's not easy to accept change sometimes, especially when it comes to a mentor or a spiritual leader. But it's important to remember that if God is in it and Jesus is our focus, then nothing should shake us through those times. They're going to suck. Those times are not going to be easy because it's going to make us uncomfortable and we're not going to be able to see the big picture. But if God's in it, we have to too. And so if we're going to be individuals that God can use for kingdom multiplication and spiritual growth in the lives of others, then our faith cannot be founded and dependent on a church. Our faith cannot be dependent on a pastor or a leader or a mentor. Our faith needs to be dependent on and focused solely on Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of you know that, but I think it's so easy for us sometimes to lean into those leaders and to be absolutely shaken when things don't go the way that we expect them to. I had an example that made me really, really sad, but it highlights exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to being far too dependent on spiritual leaders. Has anyone heard of Mark Driscoll? Anybody heard that name? Yeah, some of you got. Yeah, okay. So Mark Driscoll is a pastor, and that fellow right there. And he ran one of the biggest mega churches, and it was in Seattle, and it was Mars Hill Church, and he ran that from 96 to 2014. And I'll make a long story short. I won't bore you with a lot of details, but essentially the board of the church had a disagreement with him. There was a whole lot of conflict between the two of them, and one thing led to another. He ended up resigning. And the church shut down 1 year later after he resigned. Seemingly, there wasn't anything illegal going on, but there was a lot of controversy in how he did ministry. And so that's one thing. Like, that's sad, and that happens, right? And churches, you know, there's sometimes those disagreements. But when Mark Driscoll left, rather than hiding or no longer pastoring, he moved right to Arizona and started a new church that appears to be thriving. And I don't listen to all of his teaching, but I like to keep up on some of that stuff. And seemingly, he's doing pretty good. He's putting out new lesson material. He's putting sermons out. Appears to be doing well in his new church. Here's what makes me sad. The ones who kind of turned on him and led to the shutting down of the church in 2015 got together and started a podcast about how horrible Mark Driscoll is. I'm like, oh, no. And I get it. I would never take sides in that scenario because it's like, who knows what happened? And maybe they're right to be frustrated, but all I can do is sit there and think about what the world sees. And it makes me sad. These people were so devoted to Mark Driscoll's ministry that when Mark Driscoll failed them, man, it shook everything. They fell apart, and now there's a podcast bashing him that released a new episode even a week ago. And I'm like, oh, like, I just feel like if our eyes were set on Jesus a whole lot more and we didn't invest so much into people, like, if our eyes could be set on Jesus, maybe we wouldn't see those kinds of things happen. And so that church closed 7 years ago, and the podcast, like I said, released a new episode even as recently as last week. And I'm just like, it just makes me sad. And I tell that story to say that I would warn you of what can happen when the focus becomes anything less than Jesus. So much was invested into Mark Driscoll, who's just a man, right? And sure, he's gifted, but he was someone who was bound to fail at some point. We all are. So much was invested into him that when he was found to be flawed by their standards, surprise, he was flawed. Who would have thunk it that a person would make mistakes and do things that you didn't agree with? Everything fell apart. And so this podcast has started and continues to this day. And I just think to myself, how is Jesus the focus amidst any of that? It reminds me of these churches that you see, And, man, I don't even want to point a finger, but it just makes me sad. I'm not pointing at any particular church. We see them everywhere. Churches that split, and there's two churches right across the road from each other. And it's like, these guys, me here, and these guys, me here, and we don't talk to those guys because there was a disagreement 30 years ago, and we'll never forget. Right? And I'm just like, yeah, like I can see Jesus in that, right? No, I can't. And it makes me so sad when stuff like that happens. And I never want that to be the kind of fruit that my life produces. I don't want to be focused on anything less than Jesus. And that's how I want to lean into the Sermon on the Mount today. I've never heard this passage preached on in this way, but I had to rewrite this sermon 3 times because the Lord wouldn't let me go on this. And this is where he wanted me to go. It's like, you can't be looking to anyone other than Jesus because Jesus is the only one who's going to produce spiritual fruit in your life. Matthew 7, he's telling people how to tell if someone is worth following or not. And so Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, verse 16, he says, it's by their fruit that you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, it is by their fruit that you will recognize them. You see, Jesus is the only one who's going to be able to use your life to produce good, pure fruit. Like, you can come to church every week because you love DWC. And you love the pastors because they're pretty great. But like, if you're coming here and you're singing songs and you're listening to us talk about Jesus, but you don't know him personally, man, unless you know him personally, unless you walk with him daily, unless you give your life over to him completely, it'll be like a branch trying to produce fruit without being attached to the tree. Because this place does not substitute Jesus. He's the only one that's going to be able to help you produce true, pure, spiritual fruit. You need to do more than just know of Jesus. You need to know him personally. Jesus says this in John 15. Ironically enough, this was Jesus helping console the disciples when they were getting frustrated and sad and panicking because he was going to leave them. He said this. He said, guys, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, guys, it's. I know we've heard this message 1,000 times, but we need to set our eyes on Jesus and walk in step with the Spirit. And the church can be involved in helping with that. You're not followers of a church. You're not followers of a pastor. You're followers of Christ. And it's like that song we sang. It was amazing. We did practice the other night. I had written my message. And Allison had that. We were playing Fade Away. And we didn't talk about it. But she started piano keying Turn Your Eyes on Jesus at the end. And it almost broke me down. I'm like, how does the Lord work this way? Like, set your eyes on Jesus. It was the whole focus of my message. And that's how worship had to finish. And then a guy told me this morning after first service, he's like, man, you'll never believe it. There was a guy on the radio preaching this morning at 7 a.m. who preached an almost identical message. And I'm like, this is a message that we need to hear. Set your eyes on Christ because there is no substitute. Settle for anything less than him. Allow your faith to be dependent on anything less than him, and you'll be let down. How do I know that? Just look around at the world. And anyone who leaned on Mark Driscoll's church was shaken when it fell apart because they leaned on something less than Christ. Anyone whose faith leaned on the music and the ministries of Hillsong Church, in the past couple years, their faith has been shaken amidst all the scandal and the allegations that have been coming out. It was less than Jesus. Anyone who leaned on the teaching of Rabbi Zacharias as a foundation for their faith had to be shaken when the scandals were made public. You see, anyone who depends on anything less than Jesus will be let down. But if you can lean on Jesus alone, and he'll be a sturdy foundation for your life. He promises, what? To be the vine. Apart from him, what are we going to be able to do? As long as you remain in him, you will produce fruit. He'll use you to minister to others. The opportunities to minister that await you, if you remain in him. Man, I don't know exactly what you'll be called to do in this life, but I promise you it'll be way more effective than any kind of fruit you try to produce on your own as a branch. You ever seen a branch do anything useful without a tree? No, they die and they're useless. And it's like, he's the only one who's going to be able to use your life to produce fruit. And am I saying that you don't need the church? No, the church was Jesus' idea. It was never meant to replace him, though. The church is where I grow. It's where I fellowship. It's where I find peace. It's where I learn. It's the place that allows me to minister. It's a wonderful thing, but it is not the source of my faith. Pastors are not the source of my faith. My faith needs to be found in Christ alone. And I would love nothing more than for people to look at the members of this church, to look at each and every one of you, and see Jesus so clearly in our lives. I'd love for people to look at you personally as you're going about your day at work, as you're just doing life with your family, as you're going grocery shopping, everything that you're doing, I hope they would look at you and they would see peace and they would see a love that they can't understand. And they would know that it's unlike anything else in this world. I want people to see the fruit that your life produces. And by that fruit, I hope that they would know who you follow. Amen? Cool. Let's pray. Lord, this was such a crazy one for me because it was one of them ones where I could just feel you jabbing away at me. Whenever I would try to write something that wasn't supposed to be there, you just made me erase paragraphs. And I was frustrated about that. But I can see now why this was so important, Lord. I pray that you would correct us if we've been seeking anything less than you. Lord, if we've been depending on anything less than you or leaning on anything less than you, I pray that you would fix that real quick. God, if we've been doing anything that's going to get in the way of ministry, fix our hearts, Lord. Convict us. Help us to realize that we need to just be seeking you and getting out of the way and letting you minister through us. You're the only one that's going to be able to produce any kind of meaningful fruit in our life, Lord. So personally, my prayer is that you would use me for that. I don't want to be a branch that tries to produce anything meaningful without you. Because